Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Too sweet. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's get expectant. Let's get hungry this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him all the glory and all the praise. Amen, amen, amen. How are we doing, 12 p.m. service? So glad you're here. Well, I'm glad most of you are here. I don't know about this guy at the front. So I wear red today, and you're being a creeper and wearing red too. This is my thing, Travis. I'm wearing red today. And I'm a little bit sad I didn't get Lady in Red. Like, I wanted that. Come on. That would have been awesome. Nothing? Oh, sad. Can we just say, we have two keys players today. What's better than one keys player? Two. So legit. So legit. But you can go ahead and take your seats. I like that we had some time to say hi to all the VIPs, all our new people today, but there is a VIP in the house that we did not acknowledge today, and that is Tony Rivera's mustache. I feel like it really needs its own individual. Please show the people what they want to see. Look at this spectacular specimen right here. Oh, stealing my thunder today, that's all I'm saying. You know, I don't even know, it's not even Movember, so that's just choice. That's just good choices right there. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate it. I am picking out what you're putting down. Carl, I don't know what your issue is there. That is glory. That is Shekinah glory on his face right there. Glory. Take an altar call just from the mustache later. But I am so glad to be preaching to you this afternoon. How many people, this is your very first time hearing me? Okay, so a few of you. Well, hello, my name is Emma. I am married to that very handsome man you just heard from. We are the campus pastors here at C3 San Diego, South Bay. And I'm telling you, it is the best church, the most good-looking church with the best people. We are so glad you're here. And I'm telling you, I'm excited to preach today. I know for some of you out there, maybe hearing like a female preacher is something that maybe you're not used to. And I just want to tell you, like, I am up here today because I have a husband who gives me such beautiful covering, who really allows and empowers me to be all that God's called me to be. So today, before I do anything, I want to honor my incredible husband for being just an amazing leader, an amazing covering, not just for me, but for this church. Drew Davies, you're a magnificent leader, and any opportunity to tell you that, I will take. And also always want to honor my senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. I don't take it lightly that, you know, they gave me this opportunity to speak to you. And I come here this afternoon expectant. I'm telling you, this word wasn't a me word. It was definitely a God word. And I'm telling you, it's simple, but it's powerful in its simplicity. So can I encourage you this morning, decide that you're not going to leave here the same way. Do you know, like, I'm a pastor and I sit through a lot of services, and this is something I do because I'm determined to never become a professional Christian. And I think that's so easy to do. It's so easy to just to sit in another service. But I'm telling you, that's not what we're about at C3. We determine that every Sunday you can come in could be a Sunday where everything changes. I know for me, when I come in, I decide, God, I know there is something for me that I'm going to leave here different. So let's get expectant. Hey, I need some help preaching today. Feel free to holler back. You cheer louder, I'll preach faster. I can't promise that, but I will try. But listen, if you haven't heard me preach before, you might not know the rules when I preach, okay? This is the big rule. There is allowed to be no judgment, okay? Because I will tell you some stories that, you know, I'm telling you, I promise, I do have it together slightly, but maybe not around this area that I'm about to tell you about. And that is the ability to not lock my keys in my car. Do I have anybody that, like me, are maybe some repeat offenders and locking their keys in their car? This is making me feel better. This is like therapy for me up here. See, I'm not alone. You know, it was awesome. After the 10 a.m. service, I had a bunch of 10 p.m. Oh, can you imagine? 10 a.m. service. I had a bunch of people come and tell me, and their stories were way worse than me. They locked kids in cars and all sorts of things. I actually don't feel as bad anymore. But I am telling you, I have many a time locked my keys in my car. In fact, when I was 19, I did something pretty special. So I locked my keys in my car one day, which is unfortunate. But then the next day, I did it again, which is, at that point, you're like, nah, there's a common denominator here. But then lo and behold, the third day, Did it again. Three times in a row. At this point, you know it's on me. And then the fourth day, oh, the magnificent fourth day. I'm not kidding you. I did it again. 4 days in a row. I'm pretty sure this is like a global record. And this is the best bit. When the same AAA guy, I had the same guy 4 days in a row. It was a shameful moment. But this is how bad the fourth day was. He goes and he like hands me back my keys with a big like sign on his face. But I didn't have my hand out properly. And so the keys fell and we were standing over a grate. And my keys fell down the drain. And so this poor guy on the fourth day of getting my keys out of my car had to then climb down in a drain and get the keys. Aren't you glad you're not that AAA guy? So I can definitely tell you I have some issues when it comes to cars. That's actually not even my worst story. This happened as around about 19. 19, I was really doing this whole like car locking key thing. I was actually nannying for a family that required me to drive their car. So I didn't know their keys. I didn't know all the different, you know, tags. So I grabbed what I thought was their car keys. So I take it out there and I put it in the ignition, but it didn't quite fit. I'm like, what is going on? I'll get it. I'm strong. I can push it. So I jam this key into the ignition. I'm like, I'm going to make this work. And I turn it. And do you know what happened? It broke off right there. So I'm like, so I completely broke off this key in not my car. So who knows how awesome it was for those parents to come home and be like, yeah, look, your kids are alive, but I might have actually ruined your car because those keys apparently didn't fit in there and I really tried and it didn't work. So I'm telling you, I have some experience about locking myself out of cars and keys and stuff. So I feel I'm a bit of an expert on talking about what I'm talking about today. So what does this relate to God? How can I preach off this? I just realized when it comes to being locked out of things, I reckon that's a condition that I see a lot in the world today, not just as a pastor, but just as a human. I see a lot of people that if we were to use the analogy of being locked out of their car, that's kind of an analogy that would go to their life. You've got people that see their life, but they feel like they're peering in the window and they see the keys on the front seat, but they're unable to access them. They're unable to put them in the ignition and activate all that their life was purposed to be. Who knows that if the first time I locked my keys in my car, if I couldn't access them, it would be really crazy for me to go, oh, well, I can't do it, so I'm just going to leave my car there. That would be crazy, right? But isn't it funny that people do that with their life all the time? That for many different reasons, they can't reach those keys. They can't reach the thing that's going to actually turn their life over, which will actually take their life from being stagnant and in one place to a different place. And because it's so hard, they just kind of give up and just stay there. Like, we wouldn't do it for our car, but somehow we do it for our life. And who knows that our life is way more valuable than any car could ever be. So this morning I'm coming in passionate because I think too long has gone where people aren't activating all that God has purposed their life to be. Too long we haven't talked about this, that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And it's our job when we become believers to take the keys that God wants us to take and put them in our ignition and see the true potential of what our life is called to be. My message this morning is called Unlocked. Unlocked. And I want to talk about three keys this morning. They're simple, but I'm telling you, if we can grab, I think, what the Lord wants to say in some hearts today, we're going to have some people have some testimonies this morning of breakthrough and maybe accessing something they've never actually accessed from God before. I just want to pray before we get started. God, I thank you. I can feel you here this afternoon, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that we're not just doing church to do something, God. We're not just a bunch of Christians gathering together, Father. Lord, we're a bunch of people that believe in your word and believe, Father, that you want to do something new in each and every one of us. God, I just declare this afternoon, God, that there would be testimonies that would come out of today, God. God, people seeing themselves different, God, seeing you different, seeing their future different. God, I just thank you that you would just have your way. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Unlocked. Three keys that are actually in your pocket as a believer. And as I go through each of these keys, I want you to ask yourself the question, is this a key that sits in my pocket or is it actually in my hand ready to go? Is it one I've actually used lately? Like, can I see the fruit of this key in my life? And the first key I want to talk about is simple, but I'm telling you, if you look at the world today, it's one that I realize a lot of people fail to actually have. And it is the key of knowing that you were created on purpose. So key number one, knowing you were created on purpose. Did you know that God didn't put you on this planet to just exist? Just like when a car manufacturer made my car, he didn't make that car for me just to put it in my garage. He didn't make it so I could park it on the end of my driveway and it just looks good and holds all my empty Starbucks containers. Like, that's not what that car was purposeful. Who knows that when that designer made that car, he did so because he knew that the person who owned it could take it somewhere and it could do something. It could take them to all sorts of magical places, like Chick-fil-A and Target. Like, all these magical places could be accessed because of that car. But so often, Christians have this life that God has given them, and all they do is merely exist. They're actually seemingly, because it's just maybe gotten too hard, or they don't realize they actually have the keys to turn on their life. They leave it at the end of their life driveway, just sitting there collecting dust. So same for the car manufacturer, same for God. He didn't create you to just exist. And you know what? That's just not my opinion. Let's go to the Bible. And I love this because one of the very first scriptures in the Bible, it's found in Genesis 2 verse 7, talks about how God actually created man. I don't know if you guys have ever read this, but when God created Adam, and it's actually a reflection of how he created us. And listen to what it says. So Genesis 2 verse 7 says this. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Like, that's powerful. Did you know you were created on purpose? You weren't the result. I'm going to speak against some of this stuff, that this non-truth that's been taught in our schools and our world today. You were not the result of a whole bunch of gas just getting together and blowing up. You were the result of a God who loved you, that bent down from heaven and breathed life into your nostril. You were created on purpose. Do you know this is incredible? There are 7 billion people in the world, yet not one person shares the same fingerprint. Like, how amazing is that? But that is a picture of how God sees you. You are unique to him. He is your creator. He bent down from heaven, and just like he did to Adam, and breathed life into him, he's breathed life into you. You know what I find really funny is when you read those stories on Facebook, and they're there all the time. I can always find one. And it's generally the Midwest or somewhere hilarious where somebody has discovered Jesus in their toast. Has anyone read these stories? I read one just yesterday. Jesus was in my avocado toast, or Jesus was in my latte foam. Like, Jesus is everywhere. But I have to say, like, Jesus is the ultimate creator. Like, he didn't, you know, he's not coming in avocado toast. When Jesus creates something, it's magnificent. You don't need to be surprised by him. He's a really good at what he does. He knows how to create. Side note, and I love that Stacey Barber's here because she told me this. Do you know, out in our foyer, we actually have a piece of furniture that has a secret Jesus in it. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I want to see if anyone can find it. Somebody did. But in one of our decor pieces, there's like a secret Jesus in there. I love that. But I'm telling you, our God is distinctive in his creation. Don't believe me? Let's read the scripture. And this is one of my very favorite scriptures. I hope it'll be one of yours too. Honestly, if I could tattoo this to my body, I would, but it's really long and it hurts, so I'm not going to do it. I don't think I'm cool enough for a worship tattoo. Could I do it? Could I rock it? All right. Hey, I'm rocking the Senator shirt tonight. Do you like this? Yes. I know, I can do it. All right, so let's read. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 18 says this. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's say fearfully and wonderfully made. If you didn't know that this morning, that's good news. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Our God is a good creator. You are on this planet because you had a creator who needed one of you. And I know this is simple, but it needs to be said because you know what? It's not getting said out there. Every human life is here on purpose. There is no such thing as an accident when it comes to God and his creation. I am telling you, maybe you've forgotten that. You are a unique creation by your Father in heaven who came down and breathed life into you that said, I couldn't possibly imagine eternity without one of you. That is the God we serve, a God who knitted you together in your mother's womb. I am telling you, you were created on purpose. You know what? I noticed that so many times, and I'm talking about myself now, I think maybe God created me to be like a Prius. You know, Priuses are cool. Like, come on, I own one. Any Prius owners representing? Yeah, Prius. But you know what? That's actually not what God created us to do. As awesome as Priuses are, I know that when God designed me, He actually created me. He created you to be the best car there is out there, to be the Lamborghini. Did you know you were a luxury edition from heaven? And people forget that. They think they've got maybe like a Prius sticker on their life, but God has actually called each of you a Lamborghini. You are luxurious. You are the best of the best. You are the best of God's thoughts, the best of God's breath. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a Lamborghini. Drew, you're the hot red one, I'm just saying. You're the really sexy. Too far. All right. There was this book that was written by a pastor in the OC. You guys might have heard about it before. It's a guy by the name of Rick Warren, incredible pastor. And he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Has anyone heard about it before? This book, you probably have heard about it because it's actually one of the most sold books in the world. Like even secular, not just a Christian book, but any book. And this book has literally sold like 30 million copies. I was reading a little bit about it. It's something that even prisons actually have as mandated reading for their inmates. This book, I think is so interesting because it really answers this question that obviously our world is asking. Like, why am I here? Am I here by mistake? Like, what's the point of this life? And I love his book because it so clearly articulates that, you know what, your life does have a purpose. Your Creator meant it when He made you. You are not here just because. You are here because God bent down from heaven and breathed life into you. You know what, this lack of people knowing that they were put here on purpose is honestly, I think, a bit of a generational cancer. It's eating our society, you know, from the inside and making it be something that God never purposed it to be. So if you're somebody out there this afternoon, and I felt when I was preparing this that you've actually never heard this, can I encourage you? You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are not here for any other reason that God needed one of you. Can I get an amen? You know, this is very hipster right now to kind of, you know, talk about who you are. Like, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. But, you know, I think way less important than knowing who you are is actually knowing why God put you here. Because He loves you. Because honestly, I think purpose even comes before identity. You actually have to know why you were put here before you can even figure out why God needed one of you. Like, that's the first step. So that's why I'm going on about the point. Please be someone who knows that you were put here on purpose. Amen. All right, so key number one, know that you were created on purpose. You ready for key number two? Come on, you're a bit quiet out there. You're there. Do I need to make Tony dance? Oh, I get Rudy to dance, you know. Oh, maybe later. We have to take an altar call if you did that. It would be a whole thing, so. Key number two, know you were created for more. Can everyone say more? More. Okay, I think everyone would agree with me. There is something innate in every human. So this isn't like a church thing. This is just a human being thing where they want more than what they currently have. And you know, that's actually a God-given thing. I think it's actually God put us on this planet to not just want what we currently have, but always be wanting more, always be seeking that next thing. You know, this has kind of been taught wrong. It's almost seemed like unbiblical or, you know, not Christian to want more. But do you know, it says in my Bible, and I'll read it out to you today, in John 10:10, it says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they would have life and have it to the full." You know what? My kids have no problem asking for more. None at all. I'm telling you. More, 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 more. And no matter how much I give them, they've always got room for more. But something happens between when we're a kid and when we're an adult where we just stop expecting more. And I just don't think that that's God's best for us. When I read that scripture, when I think about John 10:10, I'm like, you know what? The devil wants to actually take away and for me to not ask for more. But I'm telling you, when I read that scripture, I think, man, I've got a God who wants me to ask Him for more. He is a good, good father with good gifts for His kids, and He wants me to be asking more. I wonder how many things that I haven't actually stepped into because I never asked for it. So this morning, I want us to get a bigger ask. There you go. Ask. But let's get a bigger ask. When was the last time you asked God for more? Because that says to me that we have authorization to ask God. Like, Lord, give me more. Give me life to the full. Did you know, this is kind of sobering. Did you know 45,000 Americans commit suicide every year? 45,000. That is 125 people a day. Did you know for every one of those people, the statistics say that 25 people have tried but failed? We got a problem with people that have gotten to the point where they don't think there's anything more for their life. That their pain, their dysfunction, whatever the issue is, that's their lot in life and there's nothing more. We need to be a church that preaches the good news of God, that there is more, there is more, there is more. You know, when I was doing this research, I came across a few local stories about suicide, and I'm telling you, they got me fired up. So locally in Chula Vista, suicide rates have climbed. They're 20% more than they were last year. To me, this is why I will get up here and preach, because I need people to know that God has more for them. God has more for them. Come on, let's not be complacent about this message. There is power. We have a world that so desperately needs to know there is more for them. There is more for them in Jesus' name. You know, many of you would know East Lake Middle School. You might even have some kids that go there. I didn't know this until I read the news article about it. Do you know, last year there was a little girl that tried to kill herself, middle school, in their school bathroom. Like, this is a problem our world has, and we have the answer. We have the key in our pocket. We need to be a church that is not afraid to proclaim that, hey, you're here on purpose, and God has more for you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says this, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived all the things that God has prepared for those who love him." God has good plans for his kids. When was the last time you told yourself that? When was the last time you told somebody else that? Our world so desperately needs to hear that. And I'm telling you, that key has stayed in our pocket for far too long. So the question is, how do we activate that key? I've got some simple things that kind of worked for me. I know for me, I really need to keep a level of expectation. I make a conscious decision all the time to actually expect more than what I'm currently living in. It's really easy to just stay complacent. But just like I said at the beginning, I would never do that with my car or my house. If I was locked out of it, I would do something about it so I could get in. So why am I okay with that when my life feels locked up and feels in one place, like I'm not going anywhere, I can't put my foot on the accelerator and go anywhere? Why am I okay to just stay there? Like, I would do it for my car, and I want to start us doing it for our lives. Let's not stay in the same place. Let's be expecting that God is going to do abundantly more than we could ask or think in Jesus' name. It's important that we're in church. Did you know this? Like, when you come on a Sunday, it is more than to tick a religious box. It's actually because you get surrounded by an environment that will actually tell you, hey, you're meant to be here, and will actually give you, you know, the vision for the more that you can have in your life. If you read this Bible, I'm telling you, you will be astounded at the promises of God. You will be astounded at what God has said is your measure, that you have the armory of heaven itself open at your disposal. Let's refuse to be robbed by the devil. I know John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and destroy. Let's be somebody that sees that second bit of the scripture and goes, but you know what? I know my God has come, that I would have life and life to the full. Let's determine that we are not living second to that what God has purposed to us. Come on, we're called to be Lamborghinis. We're called to get out on the freeway of life with the wind in our hair, not stopped by the you know, sticky plans of the devil to stop it, in Jesus' name. Let's ask God to restore our childlike faith. I love that my kids are always more, 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 more. You know, sometimes it, you know, bites, like Halloween is a fine example. Like more, more, more can get you into a lot of trouble in Halloween because there's a lot of candy, and if you keep going, you're going to get sick. But you know what? I kind of think God's a bit like that in the sense of, like, there is so much there. Just keep asking for more. I know I am. I'm walking out of here this morning with a bigger ask, with more of my God, making space for it. Key number three. So key number one, know you're here on purpose. Key number two, know your God wants to give you more. And number three, know you were created for others. And you know what? I put this point three because it's actually the point I really want to drive home. So you guys might not know it, but we're in a series about serving right now. And, you know, there's a lot of ways I could have gotten up here and talked about serving. I could have sold it to you. I could have told you about all the needs and opportunities we had. But I think more powerful than any of that is actually understanding that when you serve, it's actually a key for you to be able to access your life. Why do I know that? Because that's been my story. I'm telling you, I am not on this stage because of anything I did. I promise you, it's not no degree, it's nothing I did. All I know is that I had the key of serving in my pocket. I stuck it in the key of my life. I turned the engine and it took me to this place. So I wonder, where does God want to take your life? It might not be like me, but it might be being a CEO of your company, you know, being an incredible mum, like whatever it is for you, God has more for you. And so often it is unlocked through the serving of others. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 2 verse 10, that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You were created to serve. Did you know that? It isn't something that we do, it's something that we are. Jesus is actually called the servant king. When he died on the cross, he was actually serving us with his life. That Jesus lives in us. So I know that we are called to take out the key of serving and serve others. I do have another story. You think you've heard the worst of my car stories? There's still one. I'm saving till the end. Okay, so it takes a certain finesse to get locked out of your car. Like, that's a skill. It takes a whole different set of skills to get locked in your car. But I have a story about getting locked in my car. It happened back in Australia. I was a special school teacher and I had an appointment and I knew that I had to rush out. So I rush out to the car and in my haste, I realized I left my keys in the trunk of the car. Now, usually that's not a problem unless, of course, your car has some electrical issues and it really needs that key to recognize that it's there so your door's open. So let me tell you, it's like 110 degrees outside. I'm running late. I'm a parent, okay? I'm a teacher. I'm surrounded by parents. I'm meant to be a professional. They're meant to be looking at me as like the epitome of like, you know, sophistication. I'm, you know, helping their children learn things. But here I am, 110 degrees, locked in my car. Couldn't do anything. And I'm getting redder and redder and sweatier by the minute. Of course, it had leather seats, so you know, and I was wearing a skirt, so you know that was happening. I'm like, Lord! Thankfully, I had my cell phone. So I call my friend, another teacher back in the school. I'm like, I'm stuck in my car. Come rescue me. So she comes out. But alas, she couldn't help me. She couldn't get into my trunk because my keys were in there. And I couldn't do anything. So we had to call the fire brigade. What do you call it here? Fire department. I realized it was just a brigade. I don't know why we call it that. The fire department. So here we are. I'm stuck in my car and now we're starting to cause a scene. Like people are knowing what's happening. They're really worried about me. They're like, can you breathe? Like it's this whole thing. And then the fire truck comes. And not one fireman, not two. I'm not even kidding. There was eight. I was that damsel in the distress that needed eight firemen to come and rescue me from my BMW out the front of school before I passed out. And it got so awkward. They just couldn't do anything about it. So in the end, they literally had to almost like jaws of life open the sunroof and I had to come out. As I said, I was wearing a skirt. No one wants to climb through their sunroof when everyone's surrounding them, looking at them because you got locked in your car. Yeah, exactly. So you feel a lot better about your life now, right? Do you know, though, how many people, like, that's actually their story, though? That they're actually locked in their own life. They're actually stuck. You know, that car was purposed to go places. But more than that, there's more than one seat in that car. Most cars have at least four other seats. If you're a minivan kind of person, anyone minivan people here? You are called in your life to have other people along on the journey. But if you're locked in your car, you can't even get out, never mind anyone else getting in. Can I just encourage you, the key to unlocking things in your world will often start by the serving of others. Matthew 5 verse 13 says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." We are called in this earth to be the light to people. We've got some pretty serious things going on in our city. We've got people that don't know they're here on purpose. We've got people that don't know that God can give them abundantly more than they could ask or imagine. They don't know that God has a hope and a future for them. That scripture says there that you're their answer. Do you know Drew and I aren't the answer? Our leaders here aren't the answer? The church of which you're a part of are the answer. My question to you, when was the last time you were the answer to someone's prayer? When was the last time that you were able to add the salt of your life to somebody's and add some things to add light in dark places? Because I'm telling you, we got a city that needs us to realize our Matthew 5, you know, mandate from heaven that we are called to go into the earth and make disciples. We are called to be the answer to suicide. We are called to be the answer to everything that plagues our city because we have Jesus, and Jesus is the answer to all things that plague the human soul. As I finish up, I just want to talk about one story. You guys might have heard it before. It's one of my very favorite. It's a story of a guy by the name of Silas and a guy by the name of Paul. Bit of backstory, they end up in prison. Let's take it from Acts 16, 25. It says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose." Say with me, everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." Everybody's chains came loose. I'm telling you, the keys that you have in your pocket are bigger than just your own car. We have the answer. I love that story because when it said that Paul and Silas, when they activated the life God had chosen them to live, when they chose to not stay still, but to run towards God, to put the gas on their car, it meant that not only did their lives change, the lives of people around them changed. I'm telling you, church, we have an opportunity to be a church that actually serves others. And I'm telling you, the things that will lock inside of me, the things that will lock inside of you, you won't get from doing anything else. It's not what we do. It's who we're called to be. So my challenge is, if you're out there and you are yet to have this revelation, if you are still having the pocket of the key of serving in your pocket, can I encourage you, today's the day to dust that key out, pull it out, unlock some things. And not only will you see fruit in your world, I promise you're going to see fruit in the world around you. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." This is our mandate as believers. We are called to unlock the chains that are keeping our city bound, that are keeping our neighbors bound, that are keeping family members bound, that are keeping friends bound. Can we recognize that we have the keys of heaven in our hands, and let's not be afraid to use them? Every head bowed, every eye closed as we come to a close. God, I thank you. I can feel you in this place. God, I know where you are, Father, freedom follows. And God, I said it at the beginning and I believe it. I believe there is freedom in this message for people, God. God, I feel like even coming into this, there's people that have just been so frustrated. And when I talked at the beginning about somebody who like sees the keys on the front seat, but they're peering in the window, not knowing how to grab them, they feel like that's their story. God, I just thank you that right now, Lord, you're giving people the nudge they need to understand that the keys are in their pocket. Lord, that you're empowering them to take them out and actually use them and see their life go from where it is now to where you've actually purposed it to be. God, you're the ultimate creator. And Lord, when you knitted us together, God, you did so for a purpose because you had good plans, God, big plans. God, that you want to do something in people, God, so you can do it through them. So right now, Father, as I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here, if there's anyone out here right now that knows that today is their day to pull out the master key, the key that unlocks everything, and that's a relationship with God, I pray, God, that if that's them, that you're doing something in their heart right now. If you know that's you that I'm praying about, if you know today is your day to have a relationship with God, because I'm telling you, that car doesn't move without it. It can be the best car in the world, but without the key of Jesus, that car's not going anywhere. So I want to make an opportunity that if anyone has not yet made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe somebody has but has forgotten and that key's stayed right jammed in their pocket, if they want to pull that out today, I would like to pray for you. So if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave and lift up your hand. If that's you out there and you know I see your hand, thank you, thank you. I know there's others in here today that you know this is your day to respond to Jesus. We're going to wait because this is why we do church. So lost people can be found. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it says in the Word of God, when people respond to Him, all of heaven rejoices. They're rejoicing over you right now. Anyone else? 20 more seconds. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You can look at me. We have three brave people that today have decided that this is their day, that they're no longer going to be on the outside of what God has designed for them, that they're choosing to put their hand in their pocket and access all that God has for them. So listen, I'm going to ask everyone to stand on their feet. You know, I think this moment is so powerful. You know, this is why we do what we do. You know, Gina, you're right. 99% of what we do here at church is volunteer-based, but I'm telling you why people pour out their lives is for this moment. Because there is nothing better than giving your life to see somebody, have an opportunity to respond to the God that changes it all, the God that changed me, the God that will change you. So I'm going to ask those people that responded to do something incredibly brave. I'm going to ask you to actually come down the front because I want to pray with you. I want everyone to cheer and shout and be very excited as you respond to Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to come. Incredible, incredible. Christian and Marissa, if you responded, feel free to come. Listen, Christian and Marissa, I just declare a new day for you in the name of Jesus. A new day. Are you responding as well? What's your name? Jessica, we're so glad you're here. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you, these people are all very pumped. This is a big deal. And that feeling you're feeling right now is God doing something new. God doing something new. So listen, we're going to pray a prayer. It's called the Sinner's Prayer, Prayer of Salvation. And we're all going to pray it with you. Is that okay? So just repeat after me and we'll all repeat it as well. Say, Dear Jesus, I repent of my sins. Lord, I accept the salvation gift that you freely give me. God, I thank you for the future that you have purposed for me. God, I'm expectant for all that you're going to do in me and all that you're going to do through me. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Jessica, I just felt God just really wanted to encourage you. I feel like you felt very unseen. I don't know. I feel just to tell you from heaven, like he's seen you. He's seen every tear. You haven't been alone. If you've asked God, where is he? I felt God just wanted to know he's been there. You haven't known it, but he's been there. And I think in this next season, you're gonna get some beautiful healing, and God just won't heal you. He's going to give back to you that which the devil came to rob, and you're going to be someone who can gladly say, my life is the fullness of what the measure that God wanted to. We're so excited for you, Jessica. The best is yet to come. You just wait and see what God's going to do with your life. It's going to be amazing. Listen, there's some amazing people from our church standing behind you. They're actually going to take you to our response lounge. That's Rudy the Mexican cutie. He's legit. He's with me, I promise. If you want to head off over there, they're going to give you a gift. Let's give these people the biggest cheer. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. As I invite Drew to come up and close the meeting, I just want to end by praying over each of us. So can I go ahead and ask you to raise your hand? I just want to pray a blessing over us. God, I just thank you, Father, that this word I know was a word from heaven for our campus, God. God, I just thank you that you were unlocking something new this day, God. God, I just declare, God, an outpouring of people, Father, that are willing to put their hand to the plow, are willing, Father, to have serving be something, not that they do, but something that they are, God. God, I thank you for a revolution of people, God, knowing their purpose, knowing what they were created for. God, people that know, Father, that you have more for them, God. God, we just thank you, Father, you're doing a new thing in our campus, a new thing in every heart here today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you so much, church. I'm telling you, it is an absolute privilege to pastor you. I want you to know that. Like, Drew and I could not be more pumped that God chose us to pastor you. We love you. We're so excited for all God's about to do, God, all that God has done, he is doing, and all he's going to do.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.